Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Again, my name is Stephen Smith. I'm the Executive Director of the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. The Southern Alliance for Clean Energy is a regional energy policy and nonprofit advocacy organization that does work in five southern states, Florida, Georgia, North and South Carolina, and Tennessee. We have a long history of engagement in Florida on issues around how utilities operate. We are strong advocates for cleaner, more efficient energy options, primarily focused on energy efficiency investments and renewable energy. And we have concerns and have been very active in our concerns around what we consider high-risk energy choices, which include nuclear power. And we have been active both in front of the Florida Legislature and the Florida Public Service Commission. The focus of our press conference today is around the cost recovery mechanisms that the utilities are using to collect costs for projected nuclear power plant building. And I'll get into probably more frank language, but that's in essence what's going on. And we had planned to hold this press conference on today in advance of the public information that came out late last week about the settlement. So I'm going to make some broad comments about the intent of our appeal of the last prudence review and cost recovery docket that took place in 2011 to the Florida Supreme Court. And then we can also discuss what I'm sure is top of the mind, some of the recent developments in the settlement. We were aware of that settlement, and we can talk a little bit about why we chose not to participate in that. But first, our appeal to the Florida Supreme Court really is a two-legged appeal. The first is focused on the Public Service Commission of Florida's application of the law. It is very clear over the last few years that we've been a part of these prudence reviews that the commission has largely been applying the rules in an arbitrary fashion, in essence making up the rules as they go to justify giving millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to utilities at the expense of Florida consumers. And one of the things that has evolved over the last couple of years is the need for the utilities to show the intent, the clear intent to build these nuclear power plants. And what we saw in the 2011 proceedings for cost recovery was that the utilities did not make the record clear on their intent to build, and that the commission was acting in an arbitrary and capricious way in the way that they were granting cost recovery to the utilities. This settlement merely reinforces that to an even higher degree with the fact that now Progress has walked away from their construction contract relationship that they had with a vendor and now has only decided that they will continue to milk consumers for the dollars around the licensing agreement. And Florida Power and Light had already made that decision, which does not demonstrate the intent to build. The other part of our appeal is focused more at the legislature, where we believe that this law that was passed a few years back that granted this quote-unquote early cost recovery, what we call basically a nuclear tax scam, did not have a basic standard of law and has given the unbridled discretion to the Florida Public Service Commission, in essence violating the separations of power that are necessary where the administrative branch through the commission is now basically is making up law as they go in the way that they're sort of modifying and changing the rules around this standard. And we believe that the legislature has, in essence, created a sloppy law that is unconstitutional, and that this law is, again, granting the commission unbridled discretion and allowing the commission, in essence, to make law through the Public Service Commission, which is a right that is not, that is only a right that the legislature has. And so we are very, very disappointed in the way that the commission, who is supposed to be looking out not only for the utilities, utility shareholders and utility executives, but should really be focused on protecting consumers, has basically allowed hundreds of millions of dollars to flow to these companies for these imaginary nuclear power plants will likely never be built. So we have filed this with the Florida Supreme Court. We will be we filed it back in December. We will be filing briefs that will be I think has to be filed by the first of March, early part of March, and we believe that that we hope that the Supreme Court will intervene both in the way that the commission is applying the rule in their orders and basically vacate the force the Public Service Commission to go back on their 2011 decision, and that they will also deem this law unconstitutional. So by March 1st, we'll have all of our arguments fully outlined in a brief. Let me stop there and turn it over to Mayor Lerner, and then we'll circle back up for some closing comments before Q&A. Mayor Lerner?
Thank you. As mayor of the village of Pinecrest, which is just 15 miles from Turkey Point, the site of a power plant that's approximately 40 years old and proposed to put in two new nuclear power plants, we are very personally concerned and invested in the determinations that are being made by the Public Service Commission and the Florida legislature. Much has happened over the past 5 years that has caused tremendous impact on the economy in the state of Florida and at the federal level, with the economic downturn and the housing bubble burst, resulting reduction in property tax revenues, have caused local and state governments to significantly readjust our planning and our funding of infrastructure. The determination of need that was done about 5 years ago for these two new nuclear reactors at Turkey Point and elsewhere must now be reassessed. The projected timeline has been pushed back more than a decade, and the projected costs have tripled from $8 billion to somewhere near $24 billion. As a result of the impact of federal budgeting, the federal loan guarantees may never come to pass. The private sector has ceased home construction, and growth projections have significantly dwindled. And we haven't even factored in the impact of Fukushima and the generations-long damage that it caused, raising risk factors to previously unimaginable proportions. Moreover, energy efficiency and renewable energy has become a real focus for Floridians. So the determination of need of 5 years ago has, in fact, been predicated on what can now be considered erroneous data. So why should we, the consumers, continue to finance what is actually a doomed project? We believe that Florida Power has no intention of ever building these new plants. Florida continues to lag behind the rest of the country in recovery. Consumers are facing tremendous economic challenges, and the Public Service Commission has determined that we, the ratepayers, should bear the burden of paying for what is, let's call it what it is, a fiction, a project that will never be built. So the village of Pinecrest and numerous other cities, including the Miami-Dade League of Cities, which represents 34 municipalities in Miami-Dade County, have passed resolutions over the past few months urging the Public Service Commission to deny the request for yearly funding and urging the legislature to repeal Section 366.93.
Great. Thank you, Mayor Lerner. Let me This is Stephen Smith again. Let me just say a couple of things in anticipation of the announcement that came out on Friday. FACE has been a party to the proceedings for a while, and we were aware of the settlement that was being discussed. We chose not to sign on to the settlement for a number of reasons, but let me talk about a couple here. We, first of all, believe that at some level the settlement, well, let me say this, we welcome the fact that the utilities are returning approximately $288 million or whatever the figure is back to Florida consumers. We think that is good. That is money that we feel in many ways was ill-gotten, and that we do believe that it should be returned to consumers. So that is a positive development in this. But we feel very strongly that the granting of the ability for Progress to continue to use this nuclear tax scam against consumers in Florida to extract money from them on an ongoing basis, even though it has been now more confined than what it was previously, is still improper. We believe that it is at some level a strategic retreat by the power company because they recognize that there's growing momentum against this law that has this tax scam, this nuclear tax scam that has been used to extract hundreds of millions of dollars from Florida consumers. And we believe that they recognize that, as Mayor Lerner said, that communities around the state are rebelling against this, that the legislative representatives are wanting to contemplate repealing this, and that this is a very controversial law that isn't being improperly applied. And we think that the reason that we've gone to the Florida Supreme Court was as I've outlined, so signing on the settlement while allowing Progress to continue to get money for Levy was inappropriate, and we think is something that we couldn't do. The other aspect of this that I'd want to mention is that while we have not come out forcefully on the record about Crystal River 3, we do feel as an organization that plant is in very serious trouble. We believe that it is questionable about whether Progress should move forward on trying to repair the multiple cracks that have taken place in that containment vessel, and that we believe that it is highly questionable whether this will be viewed in the long run as a prudent investment. And unfortunately, by reaching this settlement, while they have returned some of the money and taken some of the cost off the books, at least temporarily, we believe that the settlement is very much geared towards trying to encourage the company to continue to throw good money after bad at this investment, and that it is highly questionable about whether they're going to be successful. And from both a economic risk point of view, it's extremely risky. And I think when you have a containment vessel with multiple cracks that have exceeding the engineering capabilities of the company, and they're having issues happening at that containment vessel that they don't even understand, it really raises some very serious safety questions about whether they should ever contemplate returning that reactor to service, particularly after some of the things that we've seen at Fukushima and other events like that worldwide. So it is our concern, both from an economic risk point of view and from a safety risk point of view, that this settlement is geared more towards sort of pushing or nudging the utility to try to figure out a way to bring that plant back online and recover it, and we think that's highly questionable. So for those reasons, we could not sign on for this. So let me stop there, and we're eager to field questions, both myself and Mayor Lerner, and then there's some other individuals on the phone that may assist us as time goes on, but we're open for questions now.
And I'll just go in the order of I heard members of the media ID themselves. So Housley, did you have any question?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. I was wondering if, just from a practical standpoint, if you and this maybe would go to Dr. Smith, if you think that the legislature is at the point where it's going to, where there's enough support to take seriously the proposal, for example, by Senator Pisano to actually repeal that bill, and also if there's any sense of, to repeal that law, rather, and also if there's any sense of what the Florida Supreme Court's past history is as far as looking at these types of issues, if there's any kind of sense of, would they be favorable to what you're trying to get them to do?
Well, let me take the first one. We remain hopeful and optimistic that the Florida legislature will respond to the citizens that they represent about this. Unfortunately, the last few years, I think it's highly questionable to say that the legislature has actually been responsive to the citizens, and so we're hopeful that they will get the message with the large number of resolutions that are being passed across the state against this. Unfortunately, nuclear power has become a partisan talking point for some political parties, and they seemed unwilling to take an honest look at this. And it is sadly ironic that that the utilities, which are basically state-sanctioned monopolies, are basically using this nuclear tax scam as an entitlement to continue to extract money from their consumers. It runs counter to the market. It runs counter to this. We hear lots of talk at the Florida level about not picking winners and losers, but this is clearly a contrived scam to pick a winner by giving all this money to the utilities to lure them into the nuclear power business, by giving them early cost recovery, which they don't get on other technologies. So this is the most counter thing to the free market that we've ever experienced, and to have the utilities and the Republican legislature in Florida and the Republican governor sort of be in bed together, basically, and allowing this to go forward runs absolutely counter to so many of the things that the party itself claims to be about. And so we find it breathtaking that the legislature isn't all over protecting customers and going after the utilities for this monopolistic tax scam that is happening. So we hope that the hypocrisy disappears and that the Florida legislature will actually engage in protecting consumers against what the power companies and their earlier actions have contrived. Unclear exactly how the Florida Supreme Court will act on this. We are very hopeful that they will take a hard look at this and that they will intervene in both the way that the commission has applied the cost recovery, and then also they will see that as the judiciary, they have an obligation to make sure that the separations of power are carried forward. So part of what you'll see in our developing brief is making the case for this and also referencing where the Florida Supreme Court has looked at this. But we are hopeful and optimistic that they will see how absurd this is and how arbitrary and capricious the commission has been in the way they've applied this.
Next Great, slide. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Marcia, did you have a question?
Yes, I had a question for Mayor Lerner. Mayor, could you expand a little bit more about why you say the project will never be built?
Why it will never be built?
Right.
Well, I think it's a combination of the question of need for it. More so, though, if you look at the cost-benefit analysis that anybody committing to finance something like this would be looking at, it's not worthy of investment at this point. Certainly the private financing sector isn't willing to. The federal loan guarantees, I don't think, will come forward. So they'll never be able to afford to purchase it. In fact, there is a quote that I can, if you don't already have it, by the CEO of Florida Power and Light from sometime within the past year or so, where he frankly admitted he doesn't think they're going to be built. They're never going to get the financing for it. And our other impacts that we now have to seriously take a look at with the utilization of what is a very rare resource for water and other new innovations for renewable energy, it doesn't make any sense from cost-benefit analysis. And quite frankly, having the kind of population centers of Miami-Dade County within 50 miles of Turkey Point is, and not having adequate infrastructure in place for the risks that are inherent in more nuclear power, evacuation plans and everything else, it's just the cost-benefit analysis tells everybody who looks at it with a serious eye, there's no intent to build it, there's no rationale for building it, and it's not going to happen.
Okay, and have other communities, Homestead, others surrounding Turkey Point, joined you in asking the PSC to deny the request?
Yes, we have Palmetto Bay, which is just south of us, South Miami, which is just north of us, and as I said, the entire Miami-Dade League of Cities have passed a resolution to urge both the Public Service Commission to deny and the legislature to repeal.
Thank you.
And let me, this is Stephen Smith, let me also respond. You know, there was, we need to remember the context of when this law was initially initiated and when Progress and FPL came forward with their plans to build these reactors. You know, it's now 5-6 years ago, and the world is a very different place on a number of fronts, and Florida in a very real sense is a very different place. One of our chief problems with the settlement was that we believe that both FPL and Progress need to come back to the Florida Public Service Commission and undergo another need determination. We do not believe that the companies would be able to successfully make the case in 2012 for the nuclear reactors because of many of the changes that have come forth in the last five years or so. The depressed economy, the changing market dynamics in the utility industry, the changing cost associated with nuclear power generally, the Fukushima example, and the sort of vaporization of the nuclear renaissance that was sort of driving a lot of this enthusiasm for this technology a while back. What is fundamentally missing in that settlement is the requirement of the companies to have to go through another need determination now that they clearly do not have the intent to build the plants. What is so sad about what's happening is the fact that they were granted the need determination, it seems to be an open-ended need determination. And it's somewhat analogous to if the commission was to grant the phone company a monopoly phone company, millions and millions of dollars to run out and build a central station of payphones all around the state of Florida. When the technology has moved away from that and people are using cell phones and the internet, you can hardly find payphones anymore. And yet this is sort of analogous to what they're doing by giving all this money to the utilities to build these antiquated nuclear power plants that cost tens of billions of dollars, and there's no need that has clearly been determined that they will actually ever be built.
Susan, do you have a question?
Yes. So what was the thinking behind allowing the early cost recovery for nuclear? Was that because of the lead time it requires? And then are you against all nuclear additions to these plants? I mean, what other types of power would you prefer?
Well,
instead of nuclear.
what one of the fundamental problems with nuclear power is that Wall Street and other investors do not want to place $10+ billion bet on something that is going to take 8 to 10 years to build and many times has cost overruns and delays and takes longer. That's been our history with nuclear power in this country, and it continues to be a very real concern about this technology. So early cost recovery was a way of, quote-unquote, really picking winners and losers by giving the utilities the ability to begin to collect money for this investment during the time it used to be called construction work in progress, where they could collect the money during the construction so that it would help allow them to minimize the capital cost of building these things to some degree. It doesn't make it dramatic, but, you know, because financing billions of dollars for a number of years before you even get any kind of a rate of return on it is a very difficult proposition. It is one of the fundamental economic flaws and economic risks associated with this technology, and Wall Street doesn't want to have anything to do with it. So the nuclear power industry had basically come up with a very clever way to socialize the risk, put all the risk on the ratepayers while they privatize the profits, which means it's a good deal for their shareholders. And this was, they had a laundry list of things they wanted. Loan guarantees from the federal government to subsidize the projects, basically this early cost recovery from state legislatures who were bought hook, line, and sinker into the utility's point of view and not looking out for consumer interests, and others were part of the reason why this came forward. From SACE's point of view, the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, we believe that there are viable alternatives to nuclear power. We believe that the first thing that needs to happen is we need to squeeze every bit of work out of each kilowatt hour we use and really go aggressively after energy efficiency. These same companies have been the ones up there opposing, and the commission has been lax in their application of the FECA law, the Florida Energy Efficiency Conservation Act, and really setting good solid targets for energy efficiency investments. And if those energy efficiency investments are set, the need for this plant would further be diminished. So energy efficiency is a huge opportunity in Florida. Florida is the largest state in the United States, the largest market that does not have a coherent policy on renewable energy. So therefore, there is a whole bunch of a volume of renewable energy that is not being developed and applied in Florida that could also mitigate and offset the need. And then, unfortunately, Florida is dependent on natural gas, but natural gas prices are moderate now and forecast to be moderate for the foreseeable future. And natural gas is a much more flexible option because those plants can be brought on and offline much easier, and they can be built at a much lower cost, and they can be built at smaller volumes. So maybe the state of Florida may need 100 megawatts of power at some point in the future, but it doesn't need 1,000, 2,000, 4,000, or whatever it is that these plants are proposing. And so you can bring on natural gas in a much more modular way. So there are plenty of options. The lights are not going to go out in Florida because of the lack of allowing this nuclear tax scam to go forward. What this is it's a way for the utilities to enrich their shareholders by bringing an extraordinarily large asset, $14 billion or more, into the rate base and be guaranteed a 40-plus year rate of return. I don't know where you guys have your money invested, but I can't find anything in the market where if I put my money, I get much more than 1% or something on CDs or whatever it is. But these utility scam is where they can bring in this huge multi-billion dollar asset into the rate base and be able to collect on it for 40 years. That is, if you're a utility executive, you are golden if you bring in a $14 billion asset and get a 10 to 12% rate of return for the next 40 years. You've set your company up really nicely. So that's what's motivating them.
This is Susan Glickman, and I'm a consultant with Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, and I only wanted to comment on that first half of your question in a very simple answer, which is, in Florida, we have a fundamental flaw in our energy policy. Utilities are incentivized to build new power plants that we may or may not need, and they are disincentivized to help people save energy and save money. And that's really the underpinning for this whole conversation. And Steve, you said a lot of that, but that was really the short answer to your question, why we're in this posture.
And I stand corrected. It's actually $20 billion of the numbers that are being kicked around Florida. $14 billion is the plan up the road in Georgia.
And they have collected almost $1 billion to this point under this early cost recovery. So the two investor-owned utilities at the collective, a number Sarah Barsek's on the phone, she can probably back me up with more detail. Some of that has gone to uprates and, you know, some is to the new power plant. But you're talking about over $1 billion of money, you know, going out of the Florida's economy and out of the pockets of Florida citizens to two investor-owned utilities.
Next question.
Sue Sturgis, did you have another question?
Yes. Dr. Smith, could you revisit the issue of the needs determination? At this point in the process, how could something like that come about? Would that be something the state Supreme Court would order, or is there some sort of petition process for that?
Well, unfortunately, the way that the law is written now is that once the need determination has been granted to the utilities, there is no point at which it sunsets or goes away. So if, and that's why I use the analogy about the payphones, you know, if AT&T or whoever had, using the same logic, had come up with a way of getting all the payphones paid for by ratepayers in order to justify having a robust infrastructure of payphones, even though the market conditions have changed drastically and payphones are really not as necessary as they were, you know, they would be able to continue to sort of get paid to develop payphones. And that's what we're doing here. They got the need determination was done back 5+ years or so ago when the growth in Florida was much higher, when the projections on nuclear costs were much lower, and where natural gas prices were projected to be much higher, and the commission gave them that, and every single one of those now have changed, and yet there is no way to force the utilities to have to come back, even though they are no longer clearly intending to build these reactors and go through another need determination. And that is, once they've got it, once they have it, they've got it, and that's a fundamentally flaw in Florida law, and it's the way the commission applies it. And this gets back to a big question about the lack of planning in Florida, which I won't go into great detail, but this is an example of that. So, again, our case before the Supreme Court is to question the cost recovery mechanism of this, but there's a number of fundamental flaws that the settlement doesn't fix, and unfortunately even our case will get at some of the elements of, but won't fix because the legislature and the commission and the Florida Public Service Commission are not engaged in really doing good planning and the proper types of energy planning that's necessary for the state. And so this need determination, unfortunately, once they've got it, they can just keep going. And that's why the utilities don't want to give up this cost recovery, and they're willing to punt it down the road a few years and collect money just to keep it going. But then because they know in 2017 – they could resurrect this whole thing again, and they don't have to prove it to anybody. They just got to start spending money again, and they've already got the need determination, and that's crazy because the market conditions are going to be very, very different 5 years from now from what they are right now, and it just makes no sense.
Thank you.
Any other reporters have questions? We'll go away from the list and just open it up.
This is Jim Saunders with the New Service of Florida. Are you anticipating intervening or trying to participate in this settlement case? The progress is they're trying to get it approved on an expedited basis, and I'm wondering whether the Southern Alliance will play any part in that.
Well, we were aware of the settlement discussions. We chose not to sign on to the settlement, and we object to it in principle on a number of different areas. Again, we applaud the Office of Public Counsel of getting what they have gotten in returning money back to the ratepayers, but unfortunately There are many elements of this that I think continue to keep Florida ratepayers very much at risk. And I outlined those before, the fact that they're going to continue to allow Levy to collect money for this license for a plant that will likely never be built, which, again, violates the intent of the law. And we believe that that is fundamentally flawed and inconsistent with where we're going in the Supreme Court, and we are seriously looking at objecting on that front. We believe there are just enormous amount of questions around continuing to throw good money after bad at Crystal River 3, and we think that there is a lot of the ways that this is structured is to the way this is structured sort of puts pressure on the company to try to return that to service. So we are going to formally object to this before the commission, and we're looking at exactly how we're going to do that.
Could I just ask you one question? This is Mary Ellen with the Miami Herald. One of the pushbacks we get from FPL in particular in defense of this nuclear cost recovery stuff is that they say that 90% of the money that is collected right now is going into their nuclear upgrading their existing plants, and that that has a benefit to consumers immediately. And that's why it's justifiable for them to keep the money. The other thing they mention is that the whole intent of this was not necessarily to show that they were ever going to build the plant, but to allow them to pay for their, the pre-construction phase, looking at all the things that go into the possibility of building a plant. And they say that that is why they should be justified in collecting this money. What do you say in response to those arguments?
Let's tease those two apart. We have concerns about uprates, but I'll be honest with you, SACE has not aggressively opposed the uprating at some of the plants. And let me just quickly tell you the concerns we have. You know, these plants were designed to operate for a certain life, and they were designed to operate at a certain thermal output. And when you run these plants longer than they intended and harder than they intended, you know, it does raise questions about uprates. But the we did not believe that the focus should be on the uprates. What we're focused, our main objection is focused to these imaginary plants that will likely never be built. And I do not believe that it was the intent of the legislature to allow the companies to scam through this nuclear tax millions to billions of dollars out of Florida consumers for something that will never be built and never provide any useful service to Florida consumers. So it is very unsettling to us that FPL is taking the impression that somehow or another the legislature gave them free access to consumers' wallets to suck all the money they want out of there for imaginary plants. Returning to the uprates, the one thing that I would have people remember, it was the exercise of the uprate that led to the initial cutting of the containment vessel that led to the cracking at Crystal River 3. So sometimes uprates can be done relatively quickly and relatively successful at nuclear power plants. Other times they can lead to disastrous consequences like we're now seeing play out with Crystal River 3. So, but I make a very bright line between the two of those, and I think you're seeing the majority of our opposition is focused on this imaginary new plant, nuclear plant tax scam that is being perpetuated through this early cost recovery.
Any other questions?
I wonder if Mayor Lerner, you wanted to respond to the issue of the corridor using a response to Mary Ellen's question. Did you want to break in on that?
In terms of the
I just think Mary Ellen's comment about using it for uprates and sort of, you know, the early cost recovery is not only being used for the new nukes, they're being used for these other things.
And the really I see those two responses as being mutually exclusive of each other. They can't, on the one hand, say that they're using it just for the planning and designing of a future corridor, and at the same time use it for upgrades, which is not what of the current infrastructure, which is not what the statute was created for. The purportedly, the statute was to advance the cost for what would be, at the time, initially an $8 billion project. What they're doing now, though, is planning for, and the way we got thrust into this issue in Pinecrest and all along the US-1 corridor was their announcement that they were going to be putting in a new transmission corridor along US-1, which is the major transit, transportation, and commercial corridor for South Bay, to all of our horror and outrage, because it is absolutely incompatible with every plan that every municipality and the county itself have for US-1. And then when questioned about the need to put in a new corridor, it's not necessarily, in fact, they were point blank asked, if the nuclear power plants weren't built, would you still want to put the corridor in? They said yes. So there, and we are having to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars to fight them on putting in an infrastructure that is purportedly for preparation for new nuclear power plants, and then, you know, the plants won't be built, and the intent that they have is contrary to, and in fact would cost the corridor millions of dollars in lost potential for future development. So we've been thrust into this battle at the outset for something that is, at the same time, a design build for something in the future and an upgrade for something now. It's got to be one or the other, and we shouldn't have to pay both ends, which is what we're doing. We're paying through as ratepayers for their design and supplementing it with the nuclear cost recovery, and then at the same time, as taxpayers, we're paying to fight them on it. So our residents and their customers are being attacked at both sides.
And Mary Ellen, this is George Tavros. Let me just add to Dr. Smith's and Mary Lerner's response. Not only are they, the investor-owned utilities, entitled to recover construction costs, such as land clearing and purchasing combined operating licenses and paying lawyers and so forth, but they're also entitled to recover the carrying costs on their construction balance. So in other words, whatever their cost of capital is, they're allowed to recover that rate of interest and capitalize into the project, actually make it part of the project cost and recover that from the ratepayers. So from whatever source they get their financing, whether it's debt or whether it's shareholder equity, in essence, it allows them to borrow that money interest-free courtesy of Florida ratepayers. And, of course, as you know, if the company decides at some point not to build the plant, then they're able to put that whole construction balance into the rate base and recover it for customers.
This is Steve. I just want to wrap up and say that, first of all, we appreciate everybody's interest in this, and we stand ready to continue to work with members of the Florida media to make sure that people understand the significance of this. And, again, the bottom line is that this is just really a bad deal for consumers in Florida when the economy is so tough and people are struggling, for the utilities to be so brazen in their securing this money, taking this money from consumers for these, you know, imaginary plants, and for the commission to apply the rule in such a arbitrary way, and for the Florida legislature to design a rule and not be willing to go back and fix it, given now that we see all of the poor application of it and the intent of supporting the utilities and building these plants, which they don't even have the intent to build anymore that's credible. The fact that none of these are being addressed properly by the leadership is just, you know, the leadership of the utilities, the leadership of the commission, and the leadership of the legislature and the governor. It's just a very sad day. So we're going to the Supreme Court. We're hoping that the judicial branch will engage here and do what they're supposed to do. And we look forward to a positive outcome, and we'll keep you all abreast of the developments as they go forward.